Hello, everybody. All right, we're recording. So happy Zen Talk number 5. Thanks for joining us. Todd's coming. He's just printing something off. And sorry, we're starting a few minutes late. I literally walked in from the grocery store at 11:57. So just kind of running. So just to get grounded, I wanted to share something that I heard on the ride home from the grocery store. I was listening to a podcast, and this woman was talking about, she wrote a book called Emotional Agility, and I think we're going to do a whole show about it because it's so good. Have you listened to the new Jonathan Fields podcast?
Negative.
Okay, well, it's so good. And she said something that I thought was really helpful in getting into alignment with your choices. She said that values, so you guys know what your values are qualities of action, okay? So a lot of times when we think about values, we think about that our values are just like a word, like I value relationships, or I value honesty, or I value, you know, we like use one word to define what we value, but that doesn't really help all the time, because that's great that you value relationships, but what does that mean? How does that look? And the language, values are qualities of action, helps you, reminds you that when you have a value, that there's some kind of action that needs to be taken. So, for example, you know, if you really do value communicating with your family, that, you know, connecting to your family is valuable, maybe a habit that needs to be formed or something you can work on is when you come home, put your phone down first, say to everyone, hello, you know, where is everybody? How are you? And talk to people face to face because you value relationship instead of walking in on your phone with earphones. And this isn't directed at you, Todd, because I do this too.
Is this a shot?
This is not a shot at you.
Sounds like a shot.
It isn't, because I do it too. Sometimes I wake up in the morning or the girls come in and I'm on my phone. And again, phones aren't bad. But in that moment, what is your values are a quality of action. So what's the action you're going to take? Another example. If you value having a relationship that is healthy and open and connected, then when something's difficult, you have to deal with it. The whole idea that
sometimes dealing with things sucks, though.
I know. But if your value system is that relationships are important to you, when someone makes you mad saying, forget about you, I'm just going to walk away, I'm done, that's, you're not connected to your value system.
I have an example.
Okay.
One of the rules for the summer for the girls is they need to eat breakfast and be dressed before they turn on a screen.
Yeah.
So this morning I was tempted to say to my one daughter, what's your problem? You're not dressed. You haven't.
Were you going to start with what's your problem?
Well, something like that. But instead I said, good morning.
Good.
How are you?
Yeah.
Just, that took 4 seconds.
Yeah.
Now, do you remember what our agreement is?
Yeah.
But I just started with the good morning, how are you?
Perfect.
But although my ego, or I wanted to just say, what's your problem, bud?
What's your problem? And your value is connection and relationship, and that these relationships with these girls and with me and with family are the most important things. So before you're making your point, you're saying, hello,
yeah,
I'm here. How are you?
Because what? How are they going to react if I start out with, what's your problem? How come you're on a screen?
Especially when you haven't seen them for 8 hours.
Starts the day on not such a great footing.
Yeah, and the last time you saw them was before bed. And then the first thing you're going to say to them the next day is, oh, I can't believe you're on your phone.
Right.
We
snap to judgment.
And you still, it's okay to still be exasperated by that. But if your value system is relationship first, then do relationship first and then connect with the thing you're exasperated about. But the interesting thing is, because of what you just added in, do you see how Todd, starting with relationship and saying good morning, it already gave him a pause between the annoyance and the reaction?
And I'm not perfect at that. Sometimes I don't do that, but I think of Stephen Covey, whom I love. First things first, that's one of the habits. And then I don't think this is a habit, but he says it in the book, is the main thing is to keep the main thing.
The main thing. Yeah.
The main thing is relationships. Yeah. So that is the main thing. Yeah. So it's easy to get distracted by behavior.
Yeah.
But that is surfacey. The relationship is deeper.
Correct.
So start to keep the main thing, you got to stay on the main thing.
You do. And to go back to what we talked about last week, you know, our last Zen talk about we can do hard things. You guys use this all the time because, like, we'll say, you know, my spouse or, you know, one of my kids annoyed me and it made me mad. And so I wanted to react this way. I should have the right to react this way. And we can do hard things is you can make a different choice. You may feel like I want to say this and I need, but you can choose relationship first and then still make your point, but you're not making your point with such volatility. You're not making your point with such anger and righteousness. Because that's what's so important is all these things that we're talking about as far as relationship is your value system and that's first. It doesn't mean that you still don't say what annoys you. My goodness, it actually means the opposite. If your value system is relationship, if someone's annoying you or you're feeling uncomfortable or unseen or unheard, my goodness, bring it up. We can do hard things. And what is it that every human being wants? To be seen, to be heard, and not just by other people, but by themselves. We want to hear ourselves.
We want to value ourselves.
We want to value ourselves. So
that's the teaching piece.
That's the teaching piece. And so again, I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget.
Oh, Jillian said something.
Oh, this reminds me of Brené Brown. Yes.
Double B.
Jillian, you're right on target. And that is why Brené Brown, everybody finds her so profound. Because first of all, she did research around something that nobody had done research around. And second of all, because she's saying something that we all no, but we didn't have language for. And Brené Brown has this beautiful gift of words where she makes things that are difficult conversational. And so you're like, oh, okay, I get it. And so obviously Jillian knows who Brené Brown is. For those of you who don't, if you listen to the show, you probably do, because we talk about her a lot. But, you know, Daring Greatly, my favorite is the Wholehearted Living, the 10 Habits of Wholehearted Living. It's actually from the book Gifts of Imperfection, but she has the 10 Habits of Wholehearted Living, and I use them in my...
Is that what you have in the hallway upstairs?
Yes. I use them in my Dominican class. I use them with myself.
I just got it framed. It's like, whatever. It's her top 10 list.
Yes. And so, you guys, what Jillian just did is at the bottom where it says chat, and if you can't see it, just bring your cursor down there and it'll go up, and you can type something to us.
So here's the deal. So there's a bunch of questions that we have, but I'm a much bigger fan of doing live questions, but we're prepared with other questions. Last week I asked people to raise their hand. That doesn't work real well. So if you think that you might want to ask a question live with your voice, just type in, hey, I want to ask a question in the chat. Or type in the question if you want to do that too. So whatever floats your boat. So, but to start out, I think Carrie's on, super fan number 99.
JC's back there. Do you see her?
Yeah.
JC's listening.
She's snooping.
You can come in, honey. You can listen.
But this is from number 99, Carrie, and this is what it says.
Can't be on this call today, right?
She's right there.
Hi, Carrie.
Do you want me to read it, Carrie, or do you want to talk yourself? Give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Thumbs up means you want to talk yourself. I can't hear you.
Oh, Carrie, you sound funny like a mouse.
You sound like Minnie Mouse, so I think for now... We're going to have to, first of all, test your mics.
that was funny.
Did we mute everybody? How did Carrie unmute herself?
You can unmute yourself.
Oh, you can?
Mm-hmm. They just come in muted.
Got it. Mm-hmm. I'm still learning the technology. Kids these days with their technology.
Kids.
Carrie, give it one more try. And if you still sound like Minnie Mouse on steroids.
So unmute her. Let's see. There we go.
Wah, wah, wah. Sorry, Carrie. She said, just read my question. Okay.
Okay.
So this is...
Please, just read my question. She's like, Todd, stop talking to me.
So this is more in the practical arena. It's not a very deep one, but it's an important one.
Oh, this one was on... I posted this on the page.
Okay.
Okay. Is it the one about, Carrie, the one about food?
Yeah. So last week we talked about how Kathy and I don't like to cook.
Yeah.
And Carrie's kind of in the same arena. She says, unfortunately, my husband, Joe, who we know, hey, Joe, really can't cook either. So very similar to you and I.
Yes.
So she has a family of, actually, we have a family of five. They have a family of four, right? Mm-hmm. But they still need to eat. So what do you do? She needs suggestions. She wants to change the story that she tells herself about dinner this summer make it into something either positive or neutral at the very least. Please help.
I love that language. I want to change the story about myself with food. I love that, Carrie, because that's actually what I've had to do, and I'm still working on it. But I think there's this belief system that we're supposed to have like three meals prepared every day for our children. And that if we don't, that we're somehow dropping the ball.
Bad moms.
Yes, bad, or dads.
Bad dads.
And I think that just by self-preservation and keeping my sanity, I've had to completely change the story on that. Especially now that they're older and they are more self-sufficient, is that what is, to me, what's the two reasons that we eat? The number one is for energy, yeah, right? You know, we got to stay fueled and energized. Or there's three reasons. Number two, because there's an enjoyment to it. And then number three, because it's a time to be together, okay? So if those are my three, talk about value systems, if those are my action, we do it for to be energized, for enjoyment, and to be together, then this whole story that we have about it needs to look a certain way or have a main dish or we need to spend 2 hours preparing it goes out the window. I said to Carrie on the Facebook page that Todd and I basically morning everybody's on their own. We have smoothies. Sometimes the girls have smoothies or sometimes they have cereal, waffles. They do their own thing because they're older. For those of you that have toddlers, I know you have to make food still, but for us, for lunch, we either eat together, we either go out to eat, or we put together like a bunch of snacks on the table, like in the counter, like hummus and bread or, you know, fruit or just a bunch of things, pasta. And then for dinner, we either go out or go get something, or we have taco bar.
We'll cook maybe
a couple times a week.
Two or three times a week. Three is a really good week, but it's probably closer to two.
Todd will grill. And that'll be dinner,
but
you know.
It's hard to grill because I'm not eating meat these days, and you don't eat meat, and
yeah.
Skylar doesn't really eat meat other than hot dogs, and JC, will have chicken.
Occasionally. And Cameron will eat a burger any day, anytime.
Cameron would eat a burger three times a day every day.
But the point that Todd's making is we don't all have the same taste, and that's not a problem either. I think that's another message we've heard that kind of the old school, like, this is what the food is on the table, and so everybody needs to eat it or they're going to starve.
Like that part in River Runs Through It when, not Norman, Paul.
Won't eat?
Paul won't eat. He's like a little seven-year-old kid. And then Tom Skerritt is the dad. And he said, God has been feeding men and women oats for the last 200 years, and it's not the job of a seven-year-old boy to change that.
Mm.
So Paul ends up sitting there for a long time, like hours and hours, because he's not allowed to be excused until he finishes it. And then he never eats it. And his dad says, go up to your room.
It's a little like Mommy Dearest, when she makes Christina sit and with that piece of meat and says, you're going to eat it. It's the exact, but Joan Crawford, maybe mean Tom Skerritt trying to teach two different things.
Yeah.
So the point is that they're somewhere in between. I'm not saying we say to our kids, you know, we would always say to the girls, we're not short order cooks. We're not cooking exactly what you guys want every time. Sometimes, like, there's when we have taco night, Cameron's not super happy. When we have hamburger night, Skyler's not super happy. But there's like there's an in between, and there's always a side dish so someone gets fed. Let's see. I don't want to spend money on takeout. I know. So speak to this, Todd, because Todd is like Joe.
Well, I almost, last week.
I know Todd is cheap.
Yes, I am cheap. They call me Thrifty McSaves a lot. And Chipotle is great because it's yummy and it's not too unhealthy. But at the same time, by the time you add guacamole and chips and everything, it can kind of throw you for a loop.
Yeah, but you're not helping them.
I'm getting there. So then Cameron, she likes to get a quesadilla, a side of rice and beans, and steak on the side now.
Yikes.
And it turns a $6 order into a $13 order. And 13 McSaves-a-Lot does not like that at all.
It doesn't fly.
So I told her, I will do it this time. But next time I'm not doing it. Because I said, what I mean is, get it a burrito. Because a burrito, it's basically, she likes her ingredients separated. I need them all to be in one because it's only $7 instead of 13. So the moral of the story is, I said I'd do it this time, which I did. But next time, that girl's getting a burrito.
But what do you say? Okay, that's like a personal story. But what do you say to Joe who doesn't want to do takeout because it costs more money? I have one thing, and then you say if you agree with this.
Okay.
So, Carrie, one thing I learned. First of all, I lived by myself for a really long time before Todd and I got married. And I kind of learned how to eat in such a way that I did buy groceries, but I would eat out. And it wasn't always carry out. It would be maybe sometimes just going to the grocery store and getting a salad there or something. I just kind of figured out a way. And what I found is it wasn't more expensive. Mm. That if I wasn't going to the grocery store for these big grocery store runs, and I was just getting it kind of piecemeal here and there, I wasn't spending more money by getting takeout. So my point is that when someone goes to the store to create a meal, like to put steaks on the grill or do baked potatoes or whatever, that costs a certain amount of money. And going to Chipotle and everybody getting a $6 or $7 burrito is about the same. So
and
I think it's a myth.
And about the same is, I've had this argument. I had this with Carolyn.
Yeah.
She's like, Ty, you don't understand how expensive grocery stores are because,
yes,
you know, you rarely, because with Chipotle, you're going to eat whatever you order. Whereas with a grocery store, there's always extras that you're ordering. I still am kind of on the side that it is a lot more expensive to eat out.
Depending on where you're going.
Depending on where you're going. So it's a tricky little thing.
It is. And
set a budget. Set a budget.
Exactly. Because I was going to say, Carrie, you're like on things. Like you like to figure out what works. And Carrie's really, what's the word? She's interested in like what works best for the family and she's organized. So like take a week and figure out what costs what,
mm-hmm,
and see if you can, you know, show Joe not to be the winner, but to say, hey, this is pretty comparable.
I see Joe in the background right there.
Hi, Joe.
She's got her headphones on so she can't hear.
Joe, we're talking about you.
Yes, we're talking about him behind his back. Literally behind his back.
Behind his back. But that isn't. And there's Abby. Is that Abby?
Yeah.
So basically the point is that it's not about going out. Like I remember some of my girlfriends, their going out to dinner was going to Gibson's. We're not doing that. You know, we're not going out to fancy places. We're going to grab stuff to maybe make a sandwich or going to the farmer's market and getting pre-made sandwiches. Or it's like finding a way, because the other thing that's most important to Carrie and everybody is your sanity.
Yeah.
I go crazy when I have to make too many meals during the week. It makes me unhappy and makes me feel heavy. And then balanced on the other side of that is I have Michael Pollan in my head from Food Inc. saying, make meals at home. It's better for the environment, blah, 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 blah. So I do that occasionally because I know that's a good choice too.
Right.
But you've got to balance all these things and question the myths that there's only one way. That's
kind of big. And I know Carrie lives by Costco. I assume, Carrie, do you go to Costco? Give me a thumbs up.
No.
Why not? Costco is cheap.
Oh, Julia loves Costco. Too much. Not much, yeah. Costco's a good place.
Now, you do have to do the membership thing, but, there's so many different ways to tweak the system to spend less money.
Yes. JC?
No, come here. I want to come in.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
Do you like the way our family eats? Like, is it annoying? Do you wish we ate out more? Or ate in more?
Speak up, woman.
I think it's we eat out more than we eat in more, so.
But what do you like is my question. What do you wish?
I wish we ate out more.
Here's someone
all
who wishes
kids
we ate
wish,
out.
Wishes they ate out more. That's no big revelation.
Because we just have the same meals every time if we stay in.
Totally, we're boring. We do. We have tacos, pasta.
Because
we have picky people. So thank you, JC, for that input. All right.
So glad.
All right. So what else? They have so many prepared foods. Exactly. That's the other thing is Costco or Whole Foods, they have things already made too. And if you're trying to fit into that category of I want organic or, you know, you can find that now. That's the beautiful thing is things used to be a lot harder than they are today. And what we have to figure out is talk about creating a value system. What is it that I want? because if you want organic, then go to a place where there's organic. If you want it to be cheaper, go to a place that it's cheaper. If you want somewhere in between, I found Mariano's is kind of the in-between place for me. I don't know if you guys have those. So
two things. One is, Carrie, set a budget so you and Joe are on the same page. Maybe it's $100 every week or every two, whatever it is. That way you guys know what you have. Now, I hate budgets, but sometimes I have like an ingrained budget.
It could be a budget 1 week just to figure out what works best and then go from there.
Right.
You don't have
true.
To do it every week.
And then the second thing was most importantly what you said, which is as the father and the dad, there's times when I'm like, it's not supposed to be like this because I go back into my childhood because my great grandma would cook dinner every single night. We'd have some bad meat dish with some bad potato dish every single night. It drove me nuts. But at the same time, I thought, well, that's what you're supposed to do. Well, you're not supposed to eat out, or you're not supposed to get the fast food.
And what did your grandma do all day?
Cook.
Got ready for dinner.
Yeah.
She would go to the store. That's what his grandma did. So, of course, she's going to have a meal on the table. I don't know about you guys, but I'm working, and I'm taking care of my children, and I'm taking care of things at the school, and I'm taking care of it. And so, and going to the grocery store and doing all that. So, to go make a meal that's going to take 2 hours, it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. So we've got to find that middle in between place. And it's not that we disregard eating together. We just start to create a new story around what it means to eat together and how that's going to look.
True that.
Okay. I just want to make sure I do a lot of crock pot meals. Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And then there's another one that says you can bulk cook on Sunday and freeze it for quick meals throughout the week.
That's a great idea too. Like, you know, Chloe said that, like, Sunday is kind of a low key day where you can be in the kitchen and just put some things together and freeze them or put them in the fridge, then people can get them out and make them. We've tried that a few times and it doesn't work because Sunday I don't want to do anything.
Well, and yeah, on the weekends we tend to eat in the middle, like either have a really big late lunch or an early dinner. That way, instead of having to worry about three meals a day, the girls take care of themselves for breakfast, and then we only have the one meal that we've got to worry about.
Right, we don't always eat three meals. And I think the bottom line of all of this, because everybody, ooh, Julia's got something good. Mm. So everybody, I don't know if you guys can see the chat.
If you open up your chat, or if you are watching this on a recording, there's a link that Julia throws for us.
It's a book called Your Mother's Make Ahead Freeze Cookbook on Amazon. She says her mother-in-law makes ahead and swears by this book. So that's the thing. This is why the conversations are good, because we may just find two or three tweaks that change the whole week, mm-hmm. you know? And that, again, I would, like, the bottom line is I would figure out a new story around eating, and I would also figure out what your value system is around eating and abide by that. Don't do what Kathy and Todd do. We know our value system with eating. We've kind of figured it out. And it doesn't always work, but what I'm trying to say is figure out what's most important to you and then do that. Yes, Carrie, you're right.
Yeah, Carrie said to order through the Zen Amazon link because we'll get like 40 cents, and 40 cents is...
I'll take it. So yeah, buy that through our Zen Amazon link on our page. Okay, so next question.
All right, so...
Jillian's got one.
Jillian asked us, do you guys do anything specific that helps with being more mindful in your relationship? A lot of skills, meditation, breathing, etc., tend to be more solo practices for me. Do you two do anything together aside from dates and exercise that you feel invests in your relationship and allows you to create more mindfulness in your relationship? Wow. That's kind of a big one. Why don't you start?
Yeah, I'll tell you what I do as far as Jillian for mindfulness with Todd is when, I don't know if I've shared this on the show before, but I don't love the word husband, not because I don't think it's a valuable thing. I'm so happy that Todd's my husband, but because I think sometimes the word husband carries an energy of expectation and an energy of Todd should just know things or that he should do things for me, or there's this kind of vibe about, oh, husbands. And I don't dig that because I don't want to throw Todd under the bus. I don't want to degrade him behind his back. I don't want to be annoyed at him all the time in that like husbandy way. And I found that word wasn't good. So the way I think about Todd is he is like my most important friend in the world. Okay. Because he just is, you know, I have best girlfriends too, but he's like, so that's something I always try and keep on the top of my head when I'm going to approach Todd about something or talk to him is, how do we treat our friends? Like, how do we talk to our friends? And you may say, well, that's not really a mindfulness practice. It absolutely is, because anytime I approach Todd, I come into that space of, I'm going to say this to him. How would I say this to my closest friend instead of how would I say this to my husband? Because I think we have this belief that when we get married, that we somehow are given permission to not be kind to this person that's the most important to us, that we think we can just say whatever we want.
Well, in some couples, the way they communicate is not the way you and I communicate. I'm thinking of some family members.
Okay.
Who live in Michigan, and their vehicle of communication is to bicker and nag each other.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't necessarily mean they're happily married. They have been for 50 years or something like that.
Okay.
But for me, to your point, like, there's got to be, like, I don't know, it just doesn't suit me.
Well, what's the mindfulness practice that when I bring something up to you, because her question is, that helps being more mindful in our relationship, I thought you would say that what Todd does is, because he's more practical, let's go back to old school Zen parenting, practical, emotional thing. I look in Google Calendar, and he has on Monday, make a date with Kathy. He writes it in the calendar.
Right.
So his mindful practice is more practical.
Yeah.
And mine is more present time. Like mine, I sometimes think about, I kind of have that intuitive feeling of, I haven't been alone with you. We should go on a date. But Todd,
the reason I put it on the calendar is because I've said to myself, oh, it's so important, I'll just make it happen. And like 3 weeks go by and I've realized I haven't made a date with you.
You're making your values your actions. That's what I said at the beginning.
That's right. So just, you know, some people be like, oh, how unromantic is that to put down on your Google Calendar that you have to remind yourself to have a date with your wife? But you know what? I've tried it the other way, and it doesn't work because 3 weeks go by and I realize I haven't done anything.
Yeah.
So,
like, as far as, you know, like I said, you know, I think anytime we approach a relationship, we need to be very thoughtful, because you said you have a lot of solo practices, which is great. We need to take our solo practices and put them into practice in real world. What that means is, if during meditation, when you have thoughts that come that are challenging and you're able to look at them and breathe and relax and let them go, you have to take that practice, that muscle that you worked, and bring it into your relationship with your partner. By when they say something that frustrates you, look at it, you heard it, take a breath, don't respond right away, don't react, I should say, and then respond. So the whole point of meditation, yes, it's for the meditative feel and for being there in the moment with the meditation, but it's also so you can take it off your mat and off your chair and bring it into your conversations. So that's kind of, and it doesn't always work.
Julia said that she, they started a calendar invite and carved out 2 hours on Sunday night for a meeting on finances, plans for the week, goals, major wins, and any major spending. It's been life-changing. Julia, how long have you been doing that for? Would you type that in? Is this new, or is this something you've been able to maintain for a while? We'll see what she says. 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, in my world, if you can do something for 3 weeks, 3 weeks is when, you know, behavior becomes a habit. So the fact that you've been able to stick with this for 4 weeks tells me that it might stick, because getting anybody to change anything is not an easy thing to do. So the fact that you've been able to do it for 4 weeks, it's pretty darn good.
And she said she learned it on the Slow Home podcast. So I've not listened to that, but it sounds good.
I can't believe she's listening to anything other than Zen Parenting Radio. I stand categorically against that.
No, listen to as many podcasts as you guys can. Read as many books as you can. And I say that, I don't mean like do more than you want to, but the more the better, meaning the different input you have, the better. Learned it on the Sloan Pod. We email the meeting notes to each other. She said Zen Parenting is your favorite. Does that make you feel
yes,
better?
Now my ego,
now his ego is
back. Okay.
He's calm again.
That's right.
So that's good. And I love the meeting notes. And there's something about Julia saying that they sit down and they have a conversation. The thing that she says, it helped us by being more mindful of each other's needs. So it's not all about the practical. Mm-hmm. It's about an emotional connection of like, what am I missing? What am I not seeing? What did I see? She even says our major wins, mm-hmm. Not even pointing out everything we have to do, but focusing on what we did well.
Well, and I would offer, I mean, it's not broken, so don't fix it, but the fact that you're talking about the major wins is great, but even like challenges, like throw that in there too. And maybe that.
But everything else is challenges. Well, finances.
Yeah, I guess that's
true. You know,
true.
That's the thing is like, if you, because you like to talk about money, but I don't. And so like, if you're like, Kathy, let's sit down and have a budget meeting. I'm like.
Well, speaking of money, I got this through my coach. There was a time when I was telling my coach how worried I am about money. And he said, well, how often do you talk to Kathy about it? I said, really, we don't at all, because Kathy's got enough to deal with. I don't want to burden her with my money worries. She's like, he's like, well, that's not really fair or balanced. So
Or healthy.
He's like, why don't you plan maybe once a quarter money talk where I at least just kind of let her know what's going on? Because there would be a year that went by, you know, aside from my day-to-day worries that I would always share with you, there would be no long-term overview picture of it. So I started doing these money meetings with you about once a quarter. And it wasn't to make any decisions. It wasn't to do anything. But what that did was it lightened the burden on me. I felt like I was now sharing it a little bit with you. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of life-altering. Now, I said that. We haven't done that in probably 6 months. But it's because I feel okay about it right now.
And we do talk about it a little more than I think we used to. Yeah. Maybe just the broad term. And I also think
would not hide it from you, but I wouldn't want to burden you with it. So
And that's the thing is the things that he thinks he's burdening me with, I'm not afraid of. So he would show me things and be like, this is a concern. And I'd be like, that doesn't concern me. So he thinks he's not burdening me with something I wouldn't have been burdened by in the first place.
But it was burdening me.
Yeah. And so when he released it and I was to either offer a different perspective or say, you know, this doesn't really worry me. Like, I'm not thinking this way. This doesn't scare me. I don't know if it changed your mindset, but at least you were like,
no, it, I don't know if it changed my mindset, but I felt like we were in it together.
Again. Right.
Together.
In it together.
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 Forever.
Together.
Everyone. Together.
JC's still here. We're singing High School Musical. She'll be embarrassed.
Troy.
Gabriella.
Troy.
Lots of wisdom.
That's right.
In High School Musical.
So we have some time left, and I do have a question that I want to throw it. But if there's somebody on that wants to ask a question, type it or say, I do. I'd rather hear from the people.
Well, that's, you know, I know what you want. I know. Todd has a vision.
I do.
But I do not. Let go of the vision. Non-attachment.
You
let go of
the vision.
Because I love this. I love people being able to type.
I know, but it's the whole interaction.
Okay, but we are.
Yeah, just not in the way I want it.
Right, Todd wants it his way. So ask the other question, Todd.
So this is a little bit deeper. No offense to super fan number 99, but this is kind of heavy.
Everything's deep.
Cooking's not deep.
Yes, it's deep.
No, it's not.
Because it's all based in our value system, so it's all deep. All of it comes from a deep place. We think it's surfacey, but it's all coming from somewhere that is subconscious.
This one's deep. So this is from our Zen teammate, Rose. She says, I have a little boy with special needs, specifically executive functioning, impulse control, and sensory processing issues. He also happens to be a mini Steve Jobs, no joke. He's never going to fit in the box, nor do I expect him to. What's that they say about great leaders? Anyways, rather, I want to encourage him to build on his divergent thinking skills and gifts, but that makes school difficult for him. Mostly from a social emotional snapshot. So that's kind of the foundation.
Emotional standpoint.
Sorry, standpoint. Thank mm-hmm. you. So this is in regards to control. So this young boy.
Is this the same boy?
Same boy, I think. It loves control. In fact, he's motivated by little else. Is there anything you and Kathy can add to the topic of control that would be helpful?
I think those are two different questions.
Oh, I may have cut and pasted, but.
Well, one thing
let's start with the first one.
Okay. Encouraging.
Her son is never going to fit in the box. Do you have any other resources that we can share?
Well, I think one thing, sometimes when we have a kid who doesn't fit in the box, we tell them things like, go be you and be you and be different. And it's okay to be different. And which is all good. That's, I would highly recommend that, but we don't talk about the box. Mm-hmm. And we have to remind them that there is a box, and that doesn't mean they're supposed to get in it, but having them have an understanding or respect for the box and why people are in the box. And that if he occasionally wants to be in the box, it's okay. And I'm using the box as norms, right? I'm going to use the word norms. Because we have kids who kind of want to do different things and be different, and they may literally think differently. Like she said that he has some different needs. Like he's like, you know, some different strengths and some different challenges. And so their brain really may be hardwired differently. And so of course we want to encourage being different and being themselves, but at the same time, talk about there is a box and there are times that you don't have to conform as a whole person, but it is easier to, like, for example, if our kids love to stand up all the time, they love to stand and they love to stand. Well, if they go to a public school, they're going to have to sit and maybe we find a different school for them. I'm not trying to get very literal. I'm trying to speak metaphorically that it's okay. Sometimes there's a reason that we have structure and there's a reason that certain institutions do things certain ways. And we sometimes have to do that. But then when we don't, then we can get out of the box and be our free selves. But is that sometimes we take things too far. Yeah, I always talk about the pendulum where we'll say, my kid is different and they're different and they're just going to be different all the time and they're going to be different. And that's great. But we can also teach them to understand why there are some norms that are valuable and why some kids, because they may say, why isn't everybody like me? Well, because some kids are more, they like to, their sense of belonging and being like others, child developmentally speaking, is more important right now than it is to you. You're not wrong. They're not wrong. You're not right. They're not right. It just is. So that's one thing. I think, don't you think that talking about why people do what they do is important?
Yeah, I would say an understanding is the first step in, you know, maybe modifying some behavior. Like, because if you just simply say, this is the way it has to be without giving an explanation why, that's not going to land.
Exactly. Like the extremes are, the pendulum that I'm seeing is over here is following every rule that everybody tells you to follow and that there's no other way and that you have to be like other people. And over here is being so extreme and so different that you're like totally off the grid and totally different. There's this place in between where you can maintain yourself and also live in a society and also figure out maybe social norm, you know, like for some kids, like, you know, one of my girlfriends, her daughter was born with autism, and I got new language for that. Jessica gave me new language rather than born with autism, experiences autism, or there's some new language that's so much better, and I'll learn it and share it with you guys.
Because born with means he's labeled and he is minimized to that one word.
Yeah, like I'm always trying to find better language for children who experience special needs. Like, how do you say it in such a way where it doesn't become all of what they are? But for lack of me not coming up with that right now, you know, her daughter was born with autism, and her daughter doesn't like to, you know, look people in the eye and speak in a certain way to people. And she's teaching her how to do that, not because she doesn't respect the fact that socialization isn't as important to her, but she wants her to have some basic social norms so she can get through society without always being looked at differently. Now, she's always going to have some issues with it, but these basic things, it's like you teaching the girls to shake hands with people. Mm-hmm. It doesn't always have to be special needs related. Why do we teach social norms? To help keep us belong with each other and to function with each other. And at the same time, I like being with people who are different, who like have a different viewpoint. And so it's a little bit of both. You like that?
I do.
Okay.
What's that iced tea?
It's half green tea, half black tea. Starbucks.
It's pretty good.
So what about the control one?
Control, you must learn control. I don't know about that. First of all, you got to practice it. My guess is Rose practices it quite well, but she can always be better.
Practice what?
Control. Like, what? If she's asking her son to have control, she needs to practice it herself.
I see what you're saying.
So that's step one, and my guess is Rose is pretty good.
But he has too much control is what she's saying.
Oh, well, say, yeah, we don't know if this is the same son.
Yeah, I think this is a different question.
Yeah. Anything, the boy loves control. Oh, so
yeah,
he wants to control everything.
Yes.
So she wants to encourage him to get messy a little bit.
Yes.
And not have control. I don't know, find some avenues for him to do it. It sounds like he's a boy that likes to color inside the lines,
yeah.
And maybe show him some artwork that is a little messy and say that this is also just as valuable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Like artwork metaphorically or literal artwork?
Artwork.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and that can be very literal, but every experience demonstrating how, you know, the thing is we can't force someone to give up control. We can't talk them. We can't say you shouldn't want control or it's ridiculous that you want control, because why do we want control? Because it makes us feel less anxious.
Safe.
And so I always feel like you got to go below the control issues and talk about when you are in control or when you make this choice, how does that make you feel? You know, we'll go Danielle Laporte on this, because she always talks about it's about feelings, not about the literal. Like, you know, and everybody does, but that's like her thing, is go to the feeling, you know. And the, what is it underneath that you're, what feeling are you trying to have? And what control does for people is it makes them feel calmer. So it's how can we be in situations where maybe we don't have control, but we can still feel calm?
Yeah, I would do a perspective, give him some perspective, saying that this control, his need to be in control, is going to serve him mightily when he, as you know, right now and when he gets older.
Yeah, so, here's some ways control helps.
Yeah, you don't want to like demonize this behavior, because it will serve him. Like, this kid might be something else.
A leader
because of it. But there's also space for a little bit of absence of control.
And again, remembering that control, why does he need control? That's what's most important. Not why he should let it go, but what is it that he gets out of control? We can all ask ourselves that question.
Yeah.
When we're trying to control a situation, I'll tell you a dumb story, is that I used to be, when we would go out and I used to see Carrie there all the time, Lakeview Lynx. We used to hang out there, remember?
The Lynx.
I would be very like, I need to control the jukebox. Like, I need to put on my music. You know, like, someone would go to the jukebox and I'd get really uncomfortable. Like, wait a second, I need to put my music in. So it's like, okay, what is that about? Do I need to be in control of everything? No. But my experience in that bar situation was heightened and felt better when I was listening to something that made me feel good.
Sweetie, nowadays, the jukeboxes, first of all, remember the good old days when the CD, it would be, CDs would just flap back and forth.
Yes.
So you'd have like 35 albums to choose from.
That doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist. Now they have, everything is downloadable.
It's too much.
And I never know what to play. So that's the one thing. And then the second thing is you can put extra money in to jump ahead of somebody else who put a bunch of money.
So someone could totally screw me over with.
You would not be in control.
I used, you know what I always used to play at Lakeview Lynx? I always played that Oasis song, that very first one, Don't Look Back in Anger, first one on the album.
Not familiar.
Okay. Well, I'd always start with that. That would be like the beginnings of the night.
What's the good one that I like from Oasis?
Wonderwall?
Yeah, Wonderwall.
Champagne Supernova?
I don't know what that means, but how does a Wonderwall, you're my Wonderwall.
Yeah, they're
what's
still
the
arguing those
that?
Two.
Noel Gallagher. That's a good song.
Yeah.
That's the only Oasis song I know.
So it's not that, I know you guys aren't really dealing with jukebox music right now.
This is important.
But this, it's the metaphor for everything else is, why do we need control? And like, I used to think about, like, you know, in the kitchen, you know, or somewhere in the house, like, why do I need control of this situation? It's because there was something that was making me uncomfortable or me uneasy, or I was afraid something would happen. And it's better to own that than to make everybody wrong for wanting to help.
And our kids are going to show us many times over that we really don't have control over them. So you better get used to it.
Or that it's not even over them. Over anything.
Well, we as parents, we always want to have control over the behavior. Why are you waking up before eating breakfast and getting dressed?
Right. You should do it like I told you to.
That wasn't the plan. Yes. But they're kids and they screw up.
Or are they screwing up, or are they just rolling with their own?
They're being disobedient.
They're just rolling with their own intuitive sense. And sometimes the first thing, Chasey just goes, yeah. So, you know, and it's about asking the question. I mean, I think the common theme of today's Zen talk is that go below the issue. So you have an issue of control. What's below that? What is it in each situation that you're really looking for? Or what's your fear if you don't feel like you have control? You know, and it couldn't be, if you go below, you may recognize it's not that big of a deal and that you can give up control. Or you may look below and see, oh, this is a lifelong pattern. Like, this is something I really want to deal with or talk about or start to journal about. You know, I'm a big believer in therapy. I'm a big believer in coaching. I'm a big believer in going out to lunch with a friend and talking about it, journaling. Do it whatever way you want to, but get, like, you know, mess it up a little bit.
Get like, messy.
You know, like, what is this? What is this that keeps bothering me? Because if we don't look at those feelings, then we don't really know we can't have any control about how we react because we're reacting from that subconscious place. But if we recognize like, oh, I need control right now. Oh, wait a second, I'm anxious. Then we can go to why am I anxious rather than why don't I just give up control? So
in closing, want to say thanks to 9 people who got
10,
on.
Yeah.
So thanks to Garfield L, whoever Garfield.
It's Lindsay.
Oh, it's Lindsay. Karen, Carrie, Chloe, Kathy with a C.
Uh-huh, just like me.
Julia, Jillian, Allison, and the old 414.
Todd always, 414, you can call in whenever you want. And you don't even have to say who you are.
I feel bad that I can't thank whoever it is, though.
Say thank you, 414.
Thanks, 414. And
414.
And when's our next Zen Talk?
Next week. Todd and I are leaving for, we actually have a Zen Talk every week this month because we missed the one in May. And Todd and I are leaving for Vegas tomorrow for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We're coming back early Friday morning, and we're going to see the Backstreet Boys at the Venetian. Yes. Or no, they're not the Venetian. They're somewhere close to the Venetian on Wednesday night. Todd's super excited, right?
I'm excited for that one song. Tell me why. Jillian's jealous.
The reason.
Jillian, do
thank
you.
The reason we're going to Vegas is to see the Backstreet Boys because I love them, and it's our anniversary, and Todd is such a nice person. Really, I'm saying that genuinely. He's such a nice person that he's like, if that's where you want to go, that's fine. The last time we went to Vegas, I took him to Celine Dion, and that was brutal for him, too.
I fell asleep.
So he fell asleep, so I'm glad that $100 ticket was, you know.
It was like $125, sweetie.
Backstreet Boys, I got us pretty close because I know these guys. I've seen them 7 times.
Yikes.
They know. They're going to be like, Kathy's here. Do you think they'll do that?
All right. Love you guys. Give us feedback on the Facebook page. We want to keep improving it.
You bet, Karen. Yeah, and if you're like, no, I want to do something different, or I don't like chat, or I'd rather speak, or, you know, tell us. We don't care. We're very non-attached.
We don't
whatever
care
you guys
at all.
No, whatever we care about you.
Right.
But whatever way you guys want to organize this. And
right.
Ask questions on the Facebook page, too. I'm happy to answer this way. And other people can answer, too.
Yeah, we're a resource for you.
Yeah.
Keep trucking. Adios.
Bye, everybody. Thank you.